Thank you so much, my brother, for the reading of God's Word. I would like to have a short word of prayer for people who are sick and came to my mind this morning. I have a note here, but I forgot to pray for, and I want to pray. Lord, we just before the meditation, we come to you for at least two people that I'm aware of. I'm Pareto, who is laid in bed and home, and our chief financial officer, Victor Laurel, who is at home sick. Very unusual for him to miss, and we pray that you bless these people with the strength and the healing power of our Savior. And Lord, also I want to bring to your attention that there are few families who their head of the family do not have work, and we pray that you open a door for them. As you promise in the Bible, I never saw the righteous ask for bread. And so, Father, we are your righteous people. Open the door for these families that they may praise your name when that happens. In Jesus we pray, amen. I'd like to call your attention to the Gospel of Luke that our brother have read, a very well-known passage of the Scripture in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15. Just this is the last Sunday of January, and I prepare a series of sermons month by month. And this month, our great target was things to remember in the year 2010. And the first thing that we study on the first Sunday of the month was prayer. And then we study self-control of our possession. Be a good manager of your possessions. And we look into Israel and how God blessed Israel with a great mind to manage the possessions of God. But no Israelite was cheap for God. Some of them were rascals, as we look in the Bible, but no one of them were cheap for God. And then the walk of life. Get the Ishmael out of your life. You cannot live with Ishmael and Isaac together. Get the Ishmael out of your life. Those little things, secret things that nobody knows, they are in your heart and in your life, and you need to let them go. And if you feel there is a struggle in your life, don't feel alone. Abraham had a struggle to let Ishmael go out of his home. Then we talk about mankind in the last Sunday. And now I want to talk to you about conversion. That's the word, conversion. If you go to the University of Oxford in their library, they have a very short explanation about the word conversion that comes from the Arabs in the University of Alexandria. In Arabic language, my grandmother's language, conversion is this: an event that results in transformation. That's simple. Arab people are extremely simple because the language is extremely simple. They have no present tense, they have past and future. An event has passed or an event is coming. So it's past or future. Easy to learn, easy to remember, easy to speak. There are 27 characters, and in each sentence when you write 22 characters, and so it becomes mathematical. It's just fantastic language. And so I look into that and said, an event that results in transformation. So I remember in the physical world, you have boiling water, liquid. And then very soon the water becomes vapor, an event that becomes a transformation. Then in the emotional life, I was single one time in life, and then my wife followed me so much, then I married, all right? So it's an event that transformed my life. One thing is to be single, you sleep whatever you want to, and you do what you want to. Another thing is to be married. Now you have to care and you have to worry about the other person with you. What about in the spiritual arena? You know what the Arabic book said? In the spiritual arena, conversion is a spiritual rebirth. Can you believe that? We are ignorant sometimes of what other people think. And a spiritual rebirth. So what is the prerequisite to find out what is conversion? It is found, don't look on it, you know by heart, Romans chapter 4, verse 3, when the Apostle Paul was questioned by the Sanhedrin, how do you know Abraham was saved? he really said, what does said the scripture? What does said the scripture? And so we're going to look this morning together what the scripture says about conversion. And the most wonderful thing in the scripture is that from time to time, Jesus drops an illustration that explains everything. And I think the passage in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 all the way to 24, actually to the end of the chapter 32, is an explanation, is an example about conversion. And just to help you, as I read the passage over and over and over, you learn three things about this passage. Falls into three dramatic movements. The first is the departure of a son. Always is a drama for the family. Even when it's nice, my daughter had to depart from Fremont that we live to the university in David, to the School of Medicine there. And it was a drama so much that Mama stayed for a month or 2 months in their apartment that we rent for her because how can my daughter be away from me? All right? It is a drama. So the departure of the son, this is a worse drama because the departure of this son is very ugly. Then we're going to see his wake-up call. Something happened to this man. They wake up, and he knew he was wrong. And then we're going to see the trip back home. How do you face a father that you have hurt? How do you face somebody that you have really move away for? All right, let's work together. The first movement is here in before us, chapter 15, verses 11 to 16, that I've rather read. And we're going to analyze these, the freedom this man thought, the freedom that he looked for, and the freedom that he actually found. You know, sometimes you are seeking for a job, and you think that this is the job for you. And then when you really work on it, you say, oh boy, that's not what I want. That happened many times. All right? So this man thought for freedom. I'm going to read verse 12. Verse 11 just give the word, a certain man has two sons. And verse 12 tell us the freedom that he was seeking for. And the younger of them, said the scripture, said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. You know, what kind of freedom was he looking? He was perhaps working in the management of his father's business. He had everything he needed. There was not any record in the scripture that said that he was in want. There is no record that the father did discrimination, favored the older rather than the younger. All right? No, nothing like this. What kind of freedom was he looking for? I think he wanted to be free from his daddy. See? When you are free from your daddy, you think, I don't have to answer to him anything. I don't know how you raise your children, but I was 20 years old, and I have, I never date in my life to Raquel. I visit with Raquel. In America, they have these dating things, but I went to her home. Number one, her mother cooked beautiful, and I want her mother really teach her well. Her mother was pleasant, a lady that you can sit down and open the scripture and read it to you and explain it. I said, I want to be at 5, but at 3 o'clock I was there. Oh, there was a revolution in the house because you know how ladies are. They want to look good and so on. I just went to sit down with Mama and tell me about the Bible. And I was a young fellow, 18, 19, 20. But one time I took the liberty. I told my father I'm going to be back at 10. And I was 20. And I took the liberty to stay until 11 in church. In church, my father came with a belt. Say, I told you, 10 o'clock is 10 o'clock. In my country, there was no illegal to spank his son. And I understood that when my father said 10 o'clock was 10 o'clock. All right? Not too long ago, when I came to the Navy of the United States and served the Navy in 65. When they said, we want this, this, and this. I will not sleep until that is done. Because my father taught me, you have to obey. So I imagine this, free from his daddy. He wanted to be free from his daddy. He wanted to be free to do what he wants to do. You know, he said, I'm at home, I have to do what the home does. I want to do, you know, I want to go places I want to go. Perhaps your parents are good parents and tell you, no son or no daughter, you cannot go to that place. That's no good for you. You don't understand that because you are young, but your parents have been there and can tell you. Free to let his passions have their fly. Oh, I want to do whatever I want to. I know what it is. I play soccer in a professional team who happened to be the best. And I know what it is, success, and your pictures in the newspaper and things like that when you are 20, 21, and you have no control of your emotions and no control of your life. But I have a strong Italian mother. She said, the game is over at this time. You expect to be home at this time. I took a taxi home and came home. I thank God for that. I thank God for that. At that time, I hate it. Boy, there are nice girls around, and I can be around. And Mama told me, no, so. Free to be his own boss. There are a lot of people who start their own business because they are negative in their mind. They don't know how to work with people. So they say, I want to be my own boss. I don't have to answer. Why they want to be their own boss? They don't have to answer to no one. You know, that's the nature of man. We don't want to answer to no one. Remember the scene of how Satan tempted Eve? He said, you're going to be as God. Now, God said that when we become his, we are like God, not as God. That's the difference. Satan said, you are as God. Come on. And that's in our blood. It's the inheritance of sin in our life. And we want to be in that way. So this man thought freedom in that way. Now, you want to know the freedom that he found? Here it is. We go 13, all right, to 16. The freedom that he actually found. Look at this. His body became the vehicle of wild passions. Look at verse 13. And no many days after, don't take too long to become wild. No many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there, listen carefully, wasted his possessions with, my Bible said, prodigal living. Actually, the word is loose living. He wasted everything. So his body became the center of wild passions. And so when you have wild passions, you lose everything in your life. That's what he did. That's what the Bible says. And looks like tomorrow newspaper, no? Somebody told me in McDonald's, sir, it's not tomorrow newspaper, it's today newspaper. And I stopped because I thought the Word of God was speaking to him right there. At the moment I was reading, we were reading Proverbs 28. And I said, sir, gentlemen, I said, this is tomorrow newspaper. And the man stood up and said, no, it's today newspaper. I don't say any more because the man was convicted by the Word of God. But this man went over, free to do whatever he wanted with his passions. And you know, when you do that, there is one natural effect. Verse 14, his money diminish. But when he had spent it all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. It's amazing, the Greek Bible used a word called ustero, which means he began under. In Greek, when you have no money, you are under. And they said he became down. See, his money began to diminish. When you spend while without wisdom, it's going to be in that way. And here is what happened. His money really diminished. Now, then there was a hard time in this country, and his money is gone. Verse 14 says, then arose a severe famine in the land, And boy, there was no more food and no more this and the other. And everything get complicated when you are wild. Complicated. Now, he find himself behind, as what the word said, and he began to be in want. He before he has everything, and now I have nothing. Now, that's what he found. He told his father, let me go. Give me the money. I'm mature. In the Hebrew economy, according to the Old Testament, when his son is 12, he becomes part of the family name. When he's 20, he's mature, and he has the right to the portions of their economy. And so he asked for what was his, and now he's young. He has no control of his life. Now, he finds a manual job feeding the pigs. Look at verse 15. So it must be really tough that he has to do this. Verse 15. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed the swine. That's the worst job you can have. But at least he was working. He knew that he needed to eat. You know, when you are, all of us, we have pretensions, but when you are lacking in the stomach, you do anything to feed yourself. And that's what this man did. He went into this area and did a manual job. All right? And so, verse 16 tells us the freedom that he found, an empty purse and an empty belly. Look at verse 16. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with a pot that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. That's exactly what he found. He was in his father's home. He had everything he needed. It was not one thing that the father will not provide. Then he said, I want, you know, when you are 15, 16, 17, 18, life becomes something. And when you are 20, and at 20, I have 1 degree in university already. Dangerous. And my mother knew it. And my father knew it. And I had the toughest parents. At that moment, I said, why they are like that? But I thank God for that. Because you don't know anything, young people. At 18, 19, 20, you are just a baby. And you know, he has the right, whatever he wants, he did it legally, and he got the right. The father, I'm very sure, with pain in his heart, release whatever he wanted, knowing that this boy is going to be in trouble. He released that because it was legally right. And then what happened? He ended up that his passions dominate him. And verse 16 tells us he ended up without food and without place. He ended up, he lost everything, including himself. That's the first move of this story. Now, Jesus is very good. Better than any psychiatrist and any psychology. Don't read book of psychology and book of psychiatry. Read the Gospels. You're really going to be excited. You know, everybody worry. 4,000 people in the mountain. He said, what do we do? Subway store is closed. What do we do? And Jesus said, is there any food? Six pieces of bread and some fish. Oh, bring it here. Everybody fed. You go crazy when you read the gospel. I mean, read it. No, just read it and understand it. Like a psychologist, you say, what they say, what they say it, what happened, why they happened. And when you ask those questions as you read, man, you become, whoa, who is this Jesus? That's what happened here. The first movement is awful. When we do what we want to, it's awful. When we are doing whatever pleasure we desire with no control and no barriers and no accountability, we end up like that. Is there any recovery? Is there any pill that this guy can have, Prozac or something, to help him? No, sir. This brings us to the second move in this story. His wake-up call. It's right here from verse 17 to 21. Look at verse 17. The wake-up call. Something happened. Luke 15, 17. But when he came to himself, Those who study know, you know, that himself is a reflexive pronoun. That means nobody influenced him. That means nobody talked to him. That means he read no magazine. He just took stock of his life and looked to his life like in a mirror, and he saw it. Sometimes people have to go down, down like that before they can raise up their head. When he took a stock of himself, when he came to himself, and he discovered the real self. Look at verse 17. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He discovered the real self. He no longer is using a makeup to present himself. He's real. And when you come to yourself before God, you become real. And he said, I have nothing. Everybody in my father's home has everything, and I have nothing. And then he said, I have enough with my pride. That's it. This is the wake-up call. When you have a wake-up call from God, you take action. And you're right here. In verse 18 and in verse 19, look at what he says. I will arise and go to my father. This is the same boy who said, Father, I am 20 or I'm 22. I need my stuff. You got too much money. These are the guy who confront his father. Now what he says, he said, I will go to my father. And what is he going to say to him? He's going to say, send me a check? No, look it. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Now the word sin is interesting. In the Bible, there are three or four differences. But usually, most commonly, I will say almost 99%, the word sin is used when you are wrong. Is a word that is used for, do you like shooting? I love shooting. And you go to the range, and they give you, after you shoot, they give you signals if you miss or you hit it. All right? The guy is there in the trench, and he raised the thing, and then you know how far you are. All right. This word sin is the word ah, means no in Greek. Martia, to shoot. No shoot. That means you shoot wrong. You were targeting. You really look good. And you thought they were right, but you miss it. That's the word, sin. Our Congress think the best, but they sin when they say abortion is okay. See, they are good people, and they want the best, but they're sinners, and so they miss it. And that's what happened here. Verse 18. I have missed it. He will go to his father and he will say, Father, I miss it. I was wrong. Wow. Whew. That's heavy, don't we? I was wrong, Father. I was wrong before you. What did he say first? I was wrong before God. That gave me the thought that he told his father, according to the Old Testament and according to the book of Leviticus, you need to divide your inheritance. He used God in the wrong way for his life. I'm very sure that he said to his father, no, you're a man who read the scripture, you're a man who and you're familiar with the scripture said, when I'm 22, if I want it, give him the money. And the father knew the scripture and gave him the money and commend him to God. And now he said, I have sinned against God and against you. Have you ever said that? That's heavy. That's heavy. Look at verse 19. And I am no longer, pride is gone, no longer to be called your son. This is what I'm going to do. Now, this is all in his mind and his makeup. No longer to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Make me like one in the kingdom that is not belong to the kingdom, but is in the kingdom. At least I will eat. I tell you the spiritual part of this story in a few minutes. This is spectacular. So here it is, the second move. The second move is this man, this this tremendous young fellow. He leaves his home, and in the second move, he somewhere, somehow, the Bible doesn't tell you how long that happened. The Bible doesn't tell you when that happened, but came a moment that he came to senses, and he said, what am I doing here? I know better. But there is only one remedy. And not just a phone call and say, Daddy, send me 100, and I go by. He has to face Daddy. He has to face Daddy. And he has to face Daddy with the truth. All right? He's getting excited. See, when I read the Bible, I see those things like that, and I get so excited, I cannot let it go. Now, here's the next step. The third movement. The trip back home. Boy, I read it because I said, let's see. This is spectacular. Now, the first thing that he found in the trip back home is something that you and I cannot plan, and it's compassion. Look at verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father turned his binoculars. This is in today's version. And saw him and say, well, is that rascal coming home? Know what he said? Have compassion. And run. And fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, if this is not God in action, who is it? Compassion is that. Compassion is that. My time don't let me develop what I want, but you listen to the scripture. In John 6:37, Jesus said, whatever the Father sent to me, in no way I will reject it. If you are a person without God, without a relationship with God, and if you come to the Bible and you come to Christ, you come to a Father with compassion. If you come to God with conviction, God is already there. If you come to God already moved, you say, where is God? And how can I be related to God? And this is what Israel did, and we're so marvelous. And you come with compassion. Jesus said, if you come to me, who I'm your intercessor, I'm the high priest of Israel, if you come to me, in no way I will reject you. Guarantee you come to me with compassion, I bring you to the Father with my blood and with my sacrifice and with my resurrection. I bring you there so that you can be clean. When you come to God, the first thing you're going to find is compassion. Well, verse 21 tells there is confession. And the son, you know, imagine the father really put the son down to nothing. And the son said, Father, he said what he thought he will say. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against your sight. I'm no longer worthy. Now, that's very important for Israel. No longer worthy to be called your son. Israel is a nation founded by God on family relationship. And what's Satan trying to do? Destroy family relationship. With this junk of getting people disturbed, if you can marry two men and two women and so on, that's satanic because Satan wants to destroy what God has created, family relationship. And so he said, Father, I'm so bad. I'm so bad that I don't want to be, not even your son. You can. Either you are a son in the kingdom of God or you are not in the kingdom of God. You can. This is not a citizenship that you go to the post office and get the papers and get a passport. No, this is a place, spirituality is a place that you go to the cross and you say, I missed the mark. And they say, here is one who did not miss the mark, Jesus, and his blood will rescue you. And this is what this man said. I'm so bad. It's amazing. He was so high before, remember? In that verse 12. He said, I'm so bad that I'm not worthy to be anything. And that's his confession. Now, look in this, verse 22. Here is the cavalry here is what the father said. The father said to his servant, not even talk to him, bring out the best robe, a picture of the righteousness of God. Bring out the best robe, put it on him, and put on his hand a ring. Wow. And sandals in his feet. In the book of Esther, it's in chapter 8 and in verse 12, the story of wonderful Esther, a Jewess here in the Arabian kingdom. In a remarkable way, the Jews are going to be exterminated, worse than Hitler. But God wake up the king and knew that Mordecai, Esther's uncle, was a clean man. And so in order to show what he is, that he is one of them, in chapter 8 of the book of Esther, and in verse 2, the Bible said, so the king took off his sign ring, which he had taken from Haman, some crook guy, and gave it to Mordecai, and Esther appointed Mordecai over the house of Haman. When the king put the ring on it, he said, you are one of us. When you marry, and the pastor or the judge or whatever is going to ask you, do you brought anything to express the expressions of your love to people? And then always said, with this ring, I mean, you put that ring, and that ring means that the other person owns you. You belong to somebody. You belong. And so the father here in Luke, going to Luke Gospel, in chapter 15, and in verse 22, he takes little process, the robe, the sandals. But what is impressive is that he already made him a son. Here is your ring. You belong to us. You are one of us. What are you talking about being a servant? What are you talking about being somebody a slave in my house? There was no servants at that time. They were slaves. You're going to be a slave. You are my son. And he signed and put this. Then there is joy. When you become a son of God, there is joy. Verse 23. And Luke Gospel, chapter 15, verse 23. The father said, bring the father calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. In the Gospel of Luke in chapter 15 and in verse 7, look at what Jesus said. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Amazing. That's what God has done. Look at verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The father don't say, I found it. He's found. That means God found him. You see that? And they began to be merry and happy. This story, you have heard this story over and over and over and over. But this is a remarkable story. Jesus bring this. Jesus was very deep in his speaking. Because when an Arab or Jew tell you in his story, it's very deep and profound. We in the Western world, we live too easy. And we live too, you know, but boy, when you talk to a Jew, when you talk to an Arab, they think through what they said. And they mean it with their heart. And here is Jesus confronting them. Now, these bring me to the final lesson on this story. I ask myself, why Jesus tell this story? Well, he want you and me to visualize our way back to God. And I want to show it to you in the scripture. There is always me, the bad boy in verse 12. Look at in Romans chapter 9. Chapter 3 and verse 23. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You and me, our neighbors, our parents, our grandparents, from Adam and Eve on, all have missed the mark. And you and I are short from that relationship with God. Oh, mankind say, I'm a Pentecostal, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Protestant, I'm this, I'm the other. Mankind try by himself in the misery of their life to rescue their life with God, but there's no way that you can reach it. That's why so many denominations and religions, everybody trying to, by himself, to do it. But the Bible says, you are that prodigal son. I am that prodigal son. I'm the one who I try. Well, in a short paragraph, when I was raised in the church by the force thrown arm of my mother. My mother was an unbeliever until I was 20. And then when I was 12, my daddy said, now, son, you do what you want. You want to go to church, you go, you're a man. At that time, no boy wear long pants until 12. At 12, you get the long pants. See, different country, different customs, don't we? And then with the long pants mean, this is my son. My father said, you be yourself. And I be myself. I don't care. My cousins will come in and say, go to church. Ah, forget it. I say only one thing. Church are for all people. How thankful I am for God's compassion. The day that an American missionary told me, your grandmother told you, I was in a locker room in a stadium. He said, hear the noise, he said. People go crazy. People win the championship. But you know it. If you die today, you go to hell. I knew it. That brought me to my knees and asked God for compassion. See, there is an event. Conversion is an event that leads the result in transformation. By joining a church and become part of a church, that's not the event. The event is you and God alone. And you telling God, God, I'm a sinner. God, I'm a sinner. I missed the mark many, many, many times in my life. And I don't know what to do about it. That's the event that God is looking for. What is the next? You know, there is always God. In John chapter 6, as I said before, and in verse 37, John chapter 6, and verse 37. God said, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. If you come to Christ Jesus, the Messiah of Israel, if you come to Christ Jesus, the Savior of our soul, the high priest of the spiritual life of the people. If you come to him because you have conviction, he will not reject you. Guarantee. Guarantee. And so there is always God. There is always sin, but there is always God. When you got conviction, go run to Christ. And there is always a relationship. Pastor, if I go to Christ, what do I become? Well, look in Galatians chapter 4. Remember Galatians chapter 4? That beautiful statement of the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 4. He is going to tell us what kind of people we're going to be. The Bible said in Galatians 4:4, by when the fullness of time had come, God sent for his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And look at verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth his spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Now, my friend, Christianity is not a membership in a Catholic church or a membership in the Protestant church or in any other institution. Christianity is that relationship, that moment in which you have conviction of yourself, who you are, and you see powerless. Then you see God with the arms open, and then you see God offering Christ. And He will not make you a servant in His house. He will not make you a slave in His house. He will make you a son of God. He will adopt you in the beloved. And how can you feel depressed? I think you don't know who you are. How can you feel depressed? No, my wife can testify. There is no one day that I'm depressed. But there is no a day that passed by that I don't spend 4 or 5 hours in this beautiful book of hours, and you pay for me to do that. I thank you. But I'm aware of who am I. And I'm aware that I represent you, and I'm careful in my life to watch over myself more than ever because I represent you. How blessed we are, we Christians are. You know, our church has an application for church membership. Heaven doesn't have one. In heaven, you just come in and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. No, don't say, Lord, I want an explanation how you made the earth. No, don't go nowhere. Don't go to God and say, well, God, I want you to explain me the law of gravity. No, don't go in that way because it doesn't work. Don't go to God and say, well, God, I want to know why you created the women, why you created the man. No, don't go asking God stupid questions, will you? Ask you a real question. Lord, I know I'm short of what I'm supposed to be. Lord, I know there are shortcomings. How do I overcome them? And God's not going to give you a prasad. God's going to give you His Son. And when you believe what Christ has done, then you're a son of God. Then you become part of Him. I tell you, there is nothing more beautiful in my life than being a Christian. I'm grateful for my mother and my grandmother, who forced me for hours a day at 6, 7 years old to read the Bible in Arab and to read the Bible in Spanish. Oh, you have to be part of the family. How I hated those hours, but I read it. And once in a while, without nobody watching me, I marked a text. And I went to the bathroom. I don't want anybody to see me because I was a boy. And it's a sign of weakness in the Spanish world if a boy has a Bible. So I went to the bathroom and I read it. And how many times I said to God, God, I don't understand a word, but I know it's here. And I became aware that God has given us this book for us to believe. There were a lot of Jewish family where I live. And I loved to read Isaiah with them. And I remember a Jewish fellow who said, I wish my son, read the scripture as you do. My friend, don't waste time. Don't be hungry and without food. Turn to God even today. Let's pray. Father, how grateful we are that through the difficulties of our lives and through the clarity of the scripture, you are teaching us that we have only two choices. Either to be the slaves of one master or the child of another. We pray that in each moment of decision, we may choose to be the child of the Father's love. We are not made to stand alone. No one is. We cannot run our own affairs. We are dishonest if we think we can. We are dependent upon you, O Lord. We ask you to break the back of rebellion within us and help us to choose your plan and your program, to learn to wait when you ask us to, and to learn to trust and know that freedom now means slavery, but freedom when you give it means liberty and the fullness of your word. We thank you for this lesson, O Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He.
We thank God for sending us Korean people who know how to sing and play. It has been the Korean morning then. It's just beautiful. See, there is no barriers with the gospel. Doesn't matter what nationality, what race. If you think you are something, you're really wrong. We are nobody. God made us somebody. Thank you, Diane and Iran, for that beautiful. Let's stand. And if this meditation today have made you think, don't hesitate to tell me when you greet me that you want to have a cup of coffee with chocolate with me. And we talk more. And you can ask all kinds of questions. And we'll look in the Bible and find answers for it. Heavenly Father, we confess to you that we all were prodigal sons. But in your mercy and your compassion as we saw it, you saw us long time before we saw you. With your powerful binoculars, you knew and saw my life. And with your great compassion, you rescued me. Maybe there is someone here, maybe someone in the air, radio or internet, maybe someone someplace that need to be rescued, need another information, a little bit more. Father, let me know, because I'm willing to share and share the power of God. But for us who are believers, now help us to be content with ourselves. Lord, it's not the house that we live on, the car we drive that makes us important. It's we are sons in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that vision. We confess to you, we live in a world, especially America, who everything is fantasy land. And we get confused sometimes. Thank you for the simplicity of the gospel and for the future of our life and the very presence of a mighty God as sons of God. Bless us and touch us with your presence and your conviction. Thank you for your love. In Jesus, we thank you. Amen.